This is A Story of Sorts, the podcast mostly about bookish stuff. Hello everyone, Karina here. On this episode, I chat with Anami Kaduta about poetry, spoken word, mental health, and her own podcast, Spoken Word by Anamika. On the show's notes, there's a link to Anamika's TEDx talk on YouTube, where she talks about her journey finding self-love. Make sure you watch it after listening to the episode. Anamika, thank you so much for accepting to come to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You're the host of a Spoken Word podcast, Spoken Word by Anamika. Would you mind explaining to those who are listening and may not know what is Spoken Word?
Well, I would say spoken word, for me, it's your truest form of expression. It's basic, it's different from traditional poetry. So when it comes to traditional poetry, we have different forms of poetry. Like we have sonnet, we have an ode, or when you look at Japanese poetry, we have got like haiku or tanka or mondo. But when it comes to spoken word, it's not exactly traditional poetry, but it's poetry because it's an art form where you are expressing your truest self. You're using everything. You're using gestures, you're using your voice, you're using words that are not necessarily rhyming with each other. So spoken word poetry is, I would say, it's a form of expression. It's performing arts and it's very different from traditional poetry.
And when did you first come across spoken word poetry?
This was actually last year. There was this one YouTuber named Taz. Her channel is Click for Taz. She does a lot of spoken word poetry. Now she does like a lot of vlogging. But back in the day, she did a spoken word poetry. And it was last year. I was so mesmerized. I was just like, oh my God, this is something so different. And I need to try this out. But I never had the courage. I never thought I was going to be able to do that by myself. Because I mean, I'm like, I just do regular poetry. Can I do spoken word? But yeah, it was actually last year I came across spoken word poetry.
And that's why you decide to start your own podcast?
No, my podcast. This is a long story. Basically, it's lockdown. It's a lockdown baby. I call my podcast a lockdown baby because I had so much time in my hand. So I restarted my blog. I used to have a blog, but I was not very active. So when I had so much time and the lockdown situation was happening, I just restarted my blog. And I started posting all my poems. And some of my friends were like, oh, these are really, really nice. You should maybe perform or something. So I did a few IGTV videos, like with stock footages and stock images and stock videos, like a few. I put them together and I added the audio, and it was like a nice IGTV video, and some people really liked it. So I wanted a bigger platform for it, and I decided to like take it to maybe a podcast, and I started the podcast.
So how long did you first release the podcast, the first episode?
It has been more or less 6 months. 6 months, yeah.
So you've been posting consistently?
I have done two seasons. I was not sure. I mean, it was stressing me out because, you know, you can come up with other things, but poetry is not something that you're like, you can force yourself to write poetry every week. But I was posting every other week in the second season, and the first season was every week, every Thursday. So I did two seasons. Now I'm taking a break because it's exhausting. Poetry is exhausting. And now it's done. Two seasons are done.
And did you have poems before you started podcast that you just picked up and use them for the podcast? Or did you start writing just for the podcast?
So the first season has more of, say, personal poems. You know, the first season has Dear John, which is written to my last partner. The first season has I Left My Heart in Istanbul, which is also about my last relationship. The first season has Roma. Roma is about the city of Rome. The first season has I'm Not Comfortable with Anyone Who's Not Comfortable with My Story. So I think the first season is very, very personal. So these are the poems that I wrote these poems during lockdown. Some of them are old, and some of them were new, but they're all personal poems. When the first season was done and people really liked it, the second season, I was like, you know what? What am I? I have to add value to other people. Like, I'm just talking about myself and my life. Look at me. I'm so sad. This happened and blah, blah, blah. So what's in it for others? So I started writing more for others. So the second season has like, you're not alone. The second season has, I'm enough. The second season has, some of the most stories, which I collaborated with this spoken word artist duo based in LA. So these poems are more for like everyone. It appeals to everyone. I don't know you. This is one poem that is like written for others. It's not for myself. So the first season is more like, yeah, this is my life, my story. And the second season is more like, oh, look, this is for all of you.
And are you coming with a third season soon? Because you said you were going to take a break.
Yes, the third season, I think, in next year, and maybe Jan, end of Jan or beginning of Feb. So yeah, I'm still working it out because it's very exhausting. First of all, to plan poetry and how I want to do it. Do I want to do collaborations? Do I want to take it solo? So yeah, I'm just planning it out. I think next year, beginning of next year, first half, it's going to be out.
And is poetry something that you've been doing since your childhood, for example, or your teenage years, or is something a bit newer?
Poetry, when it comes to a spoken word, it's very new for me. But poetry, I've been writing since I was 12 years old. So poetry is not new to me at all, but spoken word, this form of poetry is very, very, very new.
Mm-hmm. Are you in any spoken word or poetry circles? Because before the pandemic, like I moved to Rotterdam last year, and there were quite a few events that were specific for poetry or spoken word. Were you in any circles before?
No, by the time I actually realize I have this love for poetry, it was just like this whole thing and everything's shut down, and I didn't have the chance to do it. But now I am there's this New York Theater, I'm not sure, I follow them on Twitter. They have this circle where you can gather. It's an online thing where people gather, and it's an open mic, and there are artists, there are poets, there are spoken word artists, and it's such a cool place. But the timings are just so difficult. It's like 3 a.m. I live in India, and it's 3 a.m., 4 a.m., and I always miss them. But I am in that circle, if that counts. One day I'm definitely going to attend. But I try. I try to, I have done one open mic. It was nice. It was like a collaboration with other artists and singers and poets. So I try, but it's difficult. I don't have much time. And
that one was online.
Online. And yeah, everything's online.
Nothing very local. So everything, because you're talking about the time difference, so it's nothing happening locally that you know of.
The thing with, well, in India, spoken word is very, very new. Okay. I think it's especially the form of spoken word I do is quite new. There's like slam poetry is not that new. We do have events and everything. We do have annual events for spoken word, but I think the kind of spoken word I do is very, very new. So for me to actually get in touch with people who do the same thing is a little difficult. So in India, I'm not in any of those circles, but so I haven't had the chance to do that.
Yeah. And this is maybe a very specific question, but what does poetry mean to you?
Yeah, poetry, I think it means different things to different people. For me, poetry comes from a very dark place. So it's unfortunate. I didn't really have a regular childhood. I was homeschooled. I was an introvert. I didn't have many friends. I was just not really like other kids. I was just very different. So I started writing poetry. It was like a form of release. Mm-hmm. And for me, poetry comes from a very, very dark place. So I write good poetry when I'm emotional. And I know it sounds like, oh, my God, it's sad and all that. But it does produce poetry, sadness for me. So poetry means just being vulnerable. for me, it's being vulnerable, just putting myself out there, putting my feelings out there, and this is who I am.
It's easier, I think, to write when you're sad than when you're happy, and to write sad things than happy things. Do you agree with it?
I don't actually have written poems. When I'm happy, I write poems too. But, you know, I have, my editor is like, when you are happy, you are a terrible writer. You write like a teenager. It everything reads like a teenager's diary, like something. She's just like, oh my God, I met my Prince Charming. He's so handsome and something like that. And she hates it. She hates when I write when I'm happy. She thinks that I'm a terrible writer when I'm happy. But when I'm sad and I write something, she's like, oh, this is so much better. You should do more of this. You should be more sad.
Oh no, that's terrible advice.
But I mean, it brings the good writer.
It does seem to be the case with art, though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Pain is poetry.
And how does a poem come to life for you? Do you have a process to write it?
It's weird. It's odd. I have talked about it publicly. And I feel really weird, but it is what it is. Most of the poems, they come to me in the shower. Like, it's weird.
I've heard the same from people who write their own songs. You know, like, usually singer-songwriters, they talk a lot about that, about songs coming to them in the shower. Do you have something in the shower to write on?
No. So the thing is, I use all my five senses. So sometimes it starts with some kind of smell. Sometimes it's just like something I hear, something I see, something I feel. But always the title of the poem. So every poem that is on my podcast, the title, it usually starts with that line. So for example, I left my heart in Istanbul. And I left my heart in Istanbul was when I was inside a Starbucks. So I smelled coffee. I went inside and I smelled coffee, and I don't know what hit me. I just went back. It was just like flashback. I was back in Istanbul, and that line was just so random. I left my heart in Istanbul, and that stuck in my head. So I was supposed to meet someone, and we were having this meeting and we were having this discussion, but in my head, I'm just like, I left my heart in Istanbul. What's the next line? So I was very distracted. And this person was like, what's going on? Are you even listening? I'm like, you know what? Give me some time. I need to pen something down. So I that was like pen and paper. So I wrote a couple of lines. I left my heart in Istanbul and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? I have to finish this. So we did that whole meeting. And when I came home, I did the whole poem. So for me, it's usually one line, and that can happen anywhere. Most of the times it's the shower. I don't know what is it, but it's confusing, but it's the shower. It's sad. I'm sometimes crying. And it just comes to me. But I use all my senses. I think smell is very powerful. When you smell something, perfume or coffee, for example, anything, smell is such a powerful, it brings you, I think, brings back memories. Like, for me, it works like magic. So yeah, I use all my senses for poetry.
And do you have any artists which inspire you? Something, because I think for me, reading, if I read something, it inspires me to writing, even if I'm not hopefully copying the person. I remember writing a lot of poems, for example, on the corners of my books in high school, because we were learning certain poets. Does that happen to you? Do you have artists that inspire you to then write your own poems?
So I actually, my poems are, as I said, very personal. And the ones that I have written for others, they come from very personal, like, stories and have a very personal space. So for me, being inspired, I mean, I'm inspired by others' works. That's different. Mm-hmm. But I have never been like, okay, this is something I have heard. Now I have to write a poem about it. That hasn't happened. But I do like a lot of artists, but they don't really inspire me to write. For me, what inspires to write poetry is some event in my life. Mm-hmm. It has to be something relatable. I don't think that other people can really inspire me. I can write a book, maybe. Maybe I can write like something like an article or something. This is something other people inspire me to do. But poetry is always, it has always been personal to me. So not really, no.
Not really. But which artists, for example, if someone asked you, okay, I would like to read more poetry, or I would like to consume more art to be inspired, or just to consume more art, would you recommend something?
At beginning, I mentioned Click for Tess. She is great. When it comes to spoken word, she is great. I love her. But she doesn't post much of poetry now, but her old works, they're brilliant. But when it comes to just traditional, I read a lot of traditional poetry. So maybe all the romantics, I love the Keats. Oh, Keats, I'm a big, I mean, I don't know what to say. Shakespeare, and, you know, just traditional. I read a lot of haikus. I don't know. I have an obsession. So there's this Medium publishing house. And they're called House of Haikus. And I'm like constantly like stalking them. Like, what's the new haiku? I write a lot of haikus. So I personally love haikus. So it's just like random stuff that I read on the internet. It doesn't have to be like a specific artist. It's more like publishing houses or like old, very old poets, the romantics, or, you know, traditional poetry. So, yeah.
And do you think mental health has a direct effect on how you make your art, how you make your poetry? Did you ever find yourself in a situation in life where poetry was a savior, or where you had a writing block due to life circumstances, for example, which are two sides, can be like two sides of the same coin?
Yeah. For me, poetry and mental health, I think it's, as I mentioned, it's a way, it's your truest form. Expression, and it's, I feel like it's a way to release myself. And for me, poetry has been my savior for many a times. Whether it's like my dark childhood, dark and lonely childhood, or like a very toxic relationship, the way I express through poetry, I don't think I can express like that in real life. Like when I'm talking to someone, I can maybe write, you know, sometimes I'd be like, you know, I can't express how I feel, but I can write you a poem and I will tell you how I feel. So I think for me, whenever I have had these nightmares, anxiety, things like that, I think I've always, poetry was there. It was, yeah, my savior, rescue. I was just like thinking about words and how to express how I feel. Mm-hmm. And, so I think it's definitely a big, big one. I mean, when it comes to poetry and mental health, they're interrelated. They're very, very close to my, you know, who I am and what I do. It's all comes from that. For me.
Mm-hmm. And for Thanksgiving, this year, you decided to offer your podcast platform to other podcast creators, so me included, so they could list the things that they're grateful for. Did podcasting help you connect with other creators and with other poets and writers?
Oh my God, yes. Poets and writers, not many, but so many amazing people like yourself.
Thank you.
It's just great. I am so fortunate. I mean, I love this community, the whole podcasting community. I think they are a great bunch. And I have met amazing people. I've met people from Peru, from South America. I've met you. I've met, so this is a fun story. I've connected with Jake. He's from Australia. So it was so funny because someone else had an interview with him. And then I had an interview with that person, and I was like, okay, can I have this person for my poetry? Because I think his voice is perfect. So I just randomly texted him, like, would you like to do some poetry for me? And he's like, nowhere close to poetry. He has a fitness podcast. And I was like, and he said yes. And I was like, really?
So out
of his comfort zone. And he just used so spontaneous, and he was just like, yes. And I worked with him twice, actually. I did If I Die Today, and the Thanksgiving thing, and so many other people. Richie, for example, he's also got an amazing podcast. So many people. I have met amazing people, interacted with amazing people. Poets and artists, not that many, except I connected with Griot. They are a spoken word duo based in LA, and they've got amazing work. They're kind of sort of popular, and they are very, very talented, and I'm so fortunate. I'm so, so blessed.
I also, it's kind of curious because I do have a feeling that sometimes we are a bit afraid to reach out to people. Like, will people want to be part of it? And most of the times even people you think, oh, they're a bit like, they're kind of famous. So I feel a bit bad taking their time when I can't really, you know, pay for their time in a sense. And then people just say, yeah, sure, I would love that. And you're like, oh, okay. Because everybody is just so nice.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for me, I feel like that's why they're famous. They're nice people. That's how you get there. You're just nice.
Yeah, you and know. You connect to others. Like, you don't have trouble connecting to others.
You just don't have that blinding ego because yeah. I'm famous. I want something. I think that's why. That's what, like, oh my God. We always have this fear, like, famous people are, like, mean, and they're like, they're not going to talk to us. But I think that's how you become famous, because you're so nice. Yeah, and you're just always open to others.
Yeah, most people, like, at least that I've sent an email thinking they're probably going to say no, they all said yes. So I was very surprised by that. So let's see how for the other season, like the third season, how it goes.
Yeah, all the best. Good people.
Yeah. And how do you select which poems go into the podcast and which don't?
I struggled with it a bit in the first season, even the second season. I've deleted 4 episodes. So the first thing, the first season was...
After uploading them? Or before uploading them?
Yes. After. I have deleted 4 episodes because... At first, I thought I would be able to connect with more people. This is the message that I want. I mean, people to, you know, kind of connect with. I want to reach out to more. But when I listened to it, and I was like, you know what, this is not something that I want people to listen. Maybe not now. Maybe later. So some poems I struggle with it a lot. The first season, I was like, okay, everything is a bit too personal. Maybe it's too much information. Should I even do it? But the thing is, the Dear John, for example, it actually is one of my most popular works, and it's very personal. Yeah. And people love it.
But I think people like knowing that you're human and that you have a story and that you're willing to share it.
Yeah, I think that works. But sometimes I'm just like, I'm in a dilemma that is it good enough? Do I really need to put that information out there? You know, sometimes I get confused with that. But, you know, so I struggle with it. Now I think I have a clear vision of what I want and what I want to do with my podcast. So I'm more like firm with my ideas and firm with my, you know, which poems I want. So the first season I struggled a lot. So I was like back and forth. Do I want this right now? But now I'm good.
And do you have like a lot of poems still in the drawer that you think you'll eventually go back to and finish them? Because how do you actually decide that a poem is finished? Because you just said, now I put 4 poems out. I had to remove them afterwards. So how do you decide that?
So for me, when it comes to writing poems, I do it like in one go. For me, it's never like, okay, I'm going to do the first stanza and maybe the second stanza tomorrow. It doesn't happen like that. So when I write a poem, I do it the full thing, one go, it's done. I edit it. So the next morning I read it and I'm like, okay, this word is not, there's a better word. Maybe I can change this, change that. But the poems are written, they're all written at one go. It's just done. And so no, I don't really have many, I don't really have anything. So first the process is, the poem firstly goes on my blog. Then it goes on my podcast. So every poem that's on my podcast is on my blog. So every poem out there that I've written so far, it's all on my blog. Now I'm doing more on Medium. So for me, it's always out there. So it's nothing that I have like in stash, unfortunately. There's nothing in stock. Everything is out there. Everything is done. Everything, if I do the next season, they're all going to be fresh ones and I'm stressed about it.
Yeah, because you kind of have to fight the, I need to work on this, but I also need to let inspiration come to me. And it's very difficult to just let inspiration, and, you know, dangerous to let inspiration come to you.
Yes. For me, I have to be sad and eat a lot of cake to write a poem. And I'm like,
that's the best way I've heard about writing a poem. Like, perfect.
Like, oh my God, I'm like eating. And I'm like, yeah, buy a cake is in one line. It's coming to me. And I've done that. Like, it's coming to me. Wait, I need a little more pain. I will be there. I'm right there. So that is how it is.
So I had a question for you, but you already replied, because I was going to ask, did you ever publish a poem? Because sometimes, you know, when you write poems and then you go back from a few years ago, and there are two possibilities. You either read it and you're like, how did I think this was good? Or, wow, this is actually, I thought it was going to be bad, but I'm actually still pretty happy with it. And I was going to ask you, did you ever publish a poem? And then you listen back to it and realize you would actually like to change it. And how do you deal with it? How do you deal with something published having to be changed? But you said that you deleted the episodes. But was it an easy decision to make?
Not really. I mean, the poem that I deleted, they were actually doing pretty well, like on my podcast. Mm-hmm. One was very personal. One was about colorism. One was called, you know, because colorism is a very sensitive subject, mm-hmm. you know, and I thought you really never know the grounds of it, to be very honest. And it can be very sensitive. It can be misread many times. So I was just like, you know, is this the right one? I don't know. But the thing, when I look back, when I was younger, when I was a teenager, some of the poems, I still have them. And I read and I'm like, man, that's dark. What was I going through? It was.
Yeah. At 15. Now I'm like, yeah. Who was I at that age? Like,
oh my God, some of these are about death and God, seeing God, and like, what? Like, I was ready to go. I was ready to leave this earth. I had given up on life. I was so young. And now I have this, like, now I want to live and I want to do so much. But back in the day, I don't know what I was going through, but some of those poems are dark. That's all I know. I go back and I read them. And I'm like, oh my God, girl, what was happening with me? So that's funny. But I don't, anything that's on the podcast, it's all, yeah, I deleted the ones that I didn't like or I thought was mm-hmm. not suited. But now I have everything that I like. So yeah.
So it doesn't really happen to you that you kind of listen back and you think, you know what, that word would have worked better, but now I can't really change it because it is what it is. Now it's out there. Does it happen to you so far?
No, because so far, the ones that I was not okay with, I just deleted them. Like, bye-bye. Okay. But now the ones that I have, they're okay.
They're done. They're finished.
They're done.
I wanted to ask something because I didn't ask you how you pronounce your name. Because I pronounce it, of course, with my Portuguese pronunciation. And I would say Anamika, but I'm not sure if the tone is on the right place.
That's actually pretty correct. Anamika, but it's Namika. Like Namika.
Yeah, yeah, the tone is somewhere else because I put, yeah. I would put like the tone on the me, but it's not. And I always ask to ask people how to pronounce their names just to make sure that that I'm saying them right. So it's Anamika.
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 You go Namika, one go. Okay. Namika.
Namika.
Nice. Yes, that's great.
So we are now going to listen to Namika reading one of the poems she is most proud of, called I Left My Heart in Istanbul. Take a listen.
I left my heart in Istanbul on a late March run amidst the clouds and the sun. I left my heart in Istanbul on top of the Galata Tower. Inside of a chic apartment in Beyglu, amidst the very alive Taksim Square, I left my heart. away from the wilted clovers, away my pleading past lovers, my California king, my Roman taste, my Spanish fury and my New York haste. I left my heart in Istanbul. We roamed and roared in the city. We played and did our chores in the city. We made love and lived in the city. I left my heart in Istanbul. It was the last time I ever felt love. I realized I needed more of it. I cried, I lied, I stayed frozen. My breath synced up with his heartbeats. I was buying time, some more time. I wanted him to be mine, all mine. But I knew I had to give in. So I left my heart in Istanbul. With the sweetest baklava and our lavish kebab cravings, inside that tiny Irish pub and that tattoo shop, I left my bleeding heart in Istanbul. Because I just couldn't take it anymore. My body was gone long before. Some kisses here, some there. My open wounds licked by their tongues. My unclothed body locked in their arms. You know I had to leave my heart in Istanbul. Because he lied. He couldn't stay true and I couldn't make it through. But I still dream of Istanbul. The beautiful distant land. And I have seen it through a lover's eye. He tells me tales and the time goes by. Shh. He doesn't know. He sees my heart as pure and poured. He lets me drive wild and he lets me soar. But he doesn't know that I left my heart in Istanbul more than a year ago.
Where can people find you and your podcast online?
My podcast is called Spoken Word by Anamika, and it's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and so many other platforms that I don't even know.
I was going to ask, you know them all by heart, because I just know Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
I've just been everywhere. I don't even know them by heart, but they're there, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Spoken Word by Anamika.
And your blog is the same?
My blog is actually just anamikadatta.com. It's kind of like blog/website, but it's more of a blog. I use it as a blog.
And now this is a question that I ask everyone that comes to the podcast, because the podcast is mostly about bookish stuff. I would like to hear an all-time favorite book and a book you would recommend right now.
I have actually already recommended it to you. Yes. It's The Namesake by Jhumpa Lahiri.
I haven't yet read it because I have a very big to-be-read pile, but I'm going to get to it next year for sure. Seems super interesting, so I bought it right away.
That's okay, but I am sure you're going to love it. My master's dissertation was on that book. And she is also my topic for my PhD. She is amazing. She is this Indian-American author. She has a Pulitzer. She's now translating a lot of work into Italian from Italian to English. She's doing a lot of these amazing things. She writes a lot about Indian second generation Indian immigrant experience in the US. Mm-hmm. And she talks a lot about diaspora and all of that. And it's the novel, The Namesake, is about a young man's journey to finding, like kind of getting lost into that whole identity thing. And it's a lot about identity crisis. It's a lot about getting to know himself. It's a lot about, you know, finding your own namesake. It's a very emotional journey. It's young adult in a way, because it's like about his whole life. And it's a great, great book. I don't know what else to say, because I don't want to give any spoilers to anyone, but there's also a movie on this book, and the movie is great as well. So that's my all-time favorite. It's The Namesake by Jhumpa Lahiri. Go read it.
And is the movie faithful to the book, or did they change a lot of stuff?
Not a lot. The movie is very emotional. I cried, but it's not very, very different. It's different. I mean, you have to kind of make those changes, you know, when you're doing like from a book to a movie, you have to do that. But But the movie is not bad, actually. The movie is pretty good. Good acting. It's emotional. It's old school. It's very old, but it's direct. The director did a great job. So I love it. I love the movie as well.
And do you have a book you would recommend right now?
I was going to. I think I'm really. I read Ikigai, Hector Garcia, mm-hmm. and Abelman. I think that's his name. I always forget the other author. But Ikigai is about the Japanese method, Japanese way of finding happiness in your life, and it's one of the, you know, most amazing books I've ever. I wouldn't say read because I listen to it. I do Audible now. That's
read. We call it read. It's good because I also listen to other books, and it's. I mean, it's pretty much the same because the information is there. You just can read it while you're doing other things, which is the best.
Yeah, I know. And so that book is great. I think if you haven't, you should definitely.
No, I haven't. Is it nonfiction?
It's like method based. I don't know how else to say it. It's all about like, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. It's very, it's
like
very
a guide for
life. Kind of. Yes. Yes. It's like a happiness guide kind of thing.
So very well. So we got here two recommendations, one of which I am going to talk about on Instagram for sure, because like I said, I really want to read it. Namika, thank you so much for coming to the podcast. And I will leave all of the episode notes, the names that were spoken about, Namika's podcast as well, a link to it on the show's notes. So you will find everything there. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast.
Thank you so much once again for having me.
You can access today's show's notes via my pod page, which you can find along with all of my social media links at linktree.com/Karina Pereira. In there, you'll also find a link to a Story of Sorts playlist available on Libre.fm, containing the audiobooks recommended by our guests, which will be updated as the show progresses. If you'd like to give Libre.fm a try, you can use the code ASTORYOFSORTS at checkout to get two books for the price of one. This offer is valid for new Libre.fm members in the US and Canada. Libre.fm is an audiobook platform which allows you to buy audiobooks directly from an indie bookstore. Check them out. If you have enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting A Story of Sorts on Patreon. Patreon is a platform which allows you to contribute monthly to the podcast in exchange for extra content, such as early access to episodes, a shout-out at the end of an episode and on Instagram, and choosing a theme for me to talk about on the podcast. You can become a patron at patreon.com/astoryofsorts. I'd also be very grateful if you would simply leave a review and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. As usual, I'll be back in 2 weeks with a new interview. I'll talk to you then, and thank you for listening.